Sharp Glass by Sarah Hillary. Read by Imogen Church.
For Julie Ackhurst. Part 1. Chapter 1. I heard a cuckoo this morning. The sound came through the pipes, like everything from the outside world. Everything except him. He comes down the cellar steps into my darkness, bringing the scent of laurel from the garden. If there is a garden, a cuckoo. I don't know what's up there, out there, only what I can conjure in my mind's eye. But a place so far from everywhere is bound to have a garden. He carries it on his clothes. Bright air that lights my darkness for a second, the time it takes him to remind me that darkness is all I have. Sometimes, to spite him, I grow a garden in my mind's eye, stuffing it with colour, scent, birdsong. Other times, there are only barren fields and a deadwood forest. Cliffs falling away to nothing, to the end of the earth. Have you ever taken a wrong turn late at night? Set out on a journey whose destination was very different in the daylight. Not safe necessarily, but not deadly? Would you have turned back if you'd seen how the land lay? Caught sight of the fire burning up ahead? Tasted its ash on your tongue? Or would you, like me, have kept going, needing to see, to be certain? 3 days ago, I drove through the night to get here, the last 10 miles in the kind of darkness that only falls when you're far from a city. A special quality of darkness. No stars or moonlight. Only my headlights to guide me along lanes where neglected hedges hauled at the car. Mad woman, I muttered, hugging the steering wheel. Who starts work in the middle of the night? Only a mad woman, or someone whose bills are stacking up. The past few weeks had been a nightmare of last-minute cancellations. I'd have leapt on this latest job, whatever the cost.
A flagrant disregard for the small print,
my old dad would have called it.
You have arrived at your destination.
The house was a black square against the night sky, detached out here, miles from anywhere. My headlights set pale eyes staring from stone walls. No light inside, but I hadn't expected any. The front door key was stashed safe in my pocket. The boot of my car groaned with corrugated paper, bubble wrap, parcel tape, everything I needed to get started. Perhaps I should have paid better attention to the exterior of the house. But it was the contents I cared about as I cut the engine and climbed out into the night. The house has 7 rooms and a cellar. The cellar, I was told, was empty. For the 7 rooms, I'd ordered packing boxes to be delivered ahead of my arrival. Claire Miranda, my client, said she'd arrange for a neighbour an hour's drive away to be here when the boxes were dropped off. These details seemed important at the time. The house is unoccupied. Miss Miranda has never lived here, as far as I know. For years, her message said, she rented to holidaymakers. Now she wants to sell. On paper, it was an ideal job. Few personal items, no risk of anything precious being lost or damaged in transit. I'd spend a couple of days clearing and packing, sleeping in one of the 3 bedrooms in the sleeping bag I'd brought with me. On the 4th day, transport would arrive.